WJZ, New York, 8:30 p.m. by the shockproof Ben Russ Watch. Spelled B-E-N-R-U-S, Ben Russ.
Information, please. Presented each week at this time by Canada Dry, famous the world over for its fine beverages. Wake up, America. Time to stump the experts. Every week at this hour, Canada Dry presents Information, Please. 30 minutes of unrehearsed fun and information. Send us stickers. We set up a four-man board of superintelligences every week to answer them. You may submit from 1 to 3 original questions. For every question our quartet fails to answer, the sender gets $10 with the compliments of Canada Dry. For every question we use, whether or not it's answered correctly, the sender gets $5. So you can make $15 if our experts miss out, which, human nature being what it is, they occasionally do. Our editorial staff may reword your question a trifle. Don't fret over it. All questions become the property of Information, Please, and should be addressed to Canada Dry, 1 Pershing Square, New York City. And now may I present our master of ceremonies, Mr. Clifton Fadiman, literary critic of the New Yorker magazine. Mr. Fadiman.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Information, Please is an ad-lib program simply because it's more fun for us that way. The minds and memories of our four experts every week are as unpredictable as European politics. They raise their hands if they know the answer or feel like guessing. And if they miss, Canada Dry cheerfully pays out $10 to the sender plus $5 for the use of the question itself. Now, tonight our board consists of our three seasoned veterans, Franklin P. Adams, creator of the famous humorous column, The Conning Tower, which appears regularly in the New York Post, Oscar Levant, musical director of the American Way, composer, pianist, and a mine of information on all sorts of subjects, and the eminent Professor John Curran, the sports expert who is really a one-man traveling library. Our guest of honor is a novelist who, in a way, is rather remarkable. He's a top-flight writer of tales of intrigue and adventure. You may have seen the Mr. Moto stories in the movies or read them. And he's also one of the finest of our serious satirical novelists. The late George Apley and his recent book, Wickford Point, are both bestsellers and literature. I introduce to you John P. Marquand. Now, you know the board. Let's see what the board knows. From John D. Summer of Kingston, New York, comes a very, very simple question indeed. Gentlemen, what is the usual number of pockets in a man's three-piece suit? Mr. Adams, you know that immediately.
16.
16. How do you arrive at it?
I counted them last week.
Did you really? Going through your own pockets. You must have an unusual three-piece suit. You must have two pockets more than ordinary or perhaps inferior people have. There are 14 pockets, or 13 and a half if you count the little change pocket inside your right-hand coat pocket as a half pocket. Now, I don't say, Mr. Adams, that your suit hasn't got 16 pockets. But I said the usual number of pockets in a man's three-piece suit. Mr. Curran, do you have anything to add?
He gets two pair of pants.
Two pair of pants, yes, with no pocket in back or front. Really, I think we'll have to count that wrong, though. It was a noble attempt. Will you bring in that suit of yours next week, Mr. Adams? Let's go
yes,
through
sir,
it.
Yes, sir, if you'll have it pressed.
And I want you to play the next one a little closer to your vest, Mr. Adams, if you don't mind. All right, we'll count that wrong. $10 going out to Mr. Summer of Kingston, plus $5 for the question itself.
I'm still counting my pockets.
How are you fixed, Mr. Levant? What pocket have you got to?
I haven't got a good tailor.
And you're not wearing a vest either.
I haven't any pockets.
The next question from Constance McCready of Goucher College, Baltimore, Maryland. Miss McCready wants you to name four books or plays that include terms of endearment.
Endearment, gentlemen.
And I must have you name the author. It's hard to tell whether this question is an inquiry into your literary knowledge or your past, gentlemen, but I'll ask you to name four books or plays that include terms of endearment.
A play?
Mr. Levant, a play?
Dear Octopus, played this year.
Yes, Dear Octopus. Was that written by...
Dodie Smith. Dodie Smith, she wrote right. Autumn Crocus.
That's one. We don't have to stick to the word dear. That's usually a term of endearment that comes after marriage. Perhaps there are some other terms of endearment, somewhat warmer. Mr. Levant.
It's a play.
Go ahead.
Love him and leave him.
Yes, love him and leave him. The first part of that is a term of endearment.
It all is endearment to me. Johnny Weaver wrote that.
Johnny Weaver, yes. John V. Weaver. That's two. Mr. Marquand.
Dear Brutus, by
Barry. Dear Brutus, by Barry. Very good. That's three. One more. I hesitate to suggest The Deer Slayer by Cooper. I didn't hesitate long enough, apparently.
How about Dear Mabel?
Mr. Adams.
Baby Mine.
What is it, a book or play?
Play.
Who wrote it?
Margaret Mayo.
Margaret Mayo.
She probably appeared in it.
You're thinking of Mayo Metho, or Metho Mayo, Mr.
No, Mayo.
I'm thinking of Margaret Mayo.
You stick to it. All right. I'll accept that. That's four. Can you think of any others? Mr. Levant?
Dearest Enemy?
Yes, Dearest Enemy. We're getting warmer now. The Beloved Vagabond? Bittersweet by Noel Coward? Honey in the Horn is a novel that won the Pulitzer Prize, I think, a couple of years ago.
Dear Mabel, you remember that?
Dear Mabel, yes. Misspelled, but I remember it. Dear Mabel, very good. By Ed Streeter, wasn't it?
I think. D-E-R-E.
The next question from N. Lewison of Dallas, Texas. No, from H. Tompkins of Chicago, Illinois. I beg pardon. If you invited the following eccentric characters to a house party, what strange behavior might you expect of each of them? What would each of the following be doing? Mr. Dick. Mr. Dick.
What's his first name?
I won't give you his... I don't think he had a first name.
Moby Dick?
No, it wasn't Mo. It wasn't Mo at all. Mr. Marquand.
He'd be talking about King Charles's head.
He would be. What character is that, Mr. Marquand?
From Dickens.
Yes? You're all right. You're all right.
Well, now my... That's as far as I can go.
That's pretty far. That's all right. He would be talking about King Charles's head, the obsession he had. Or he might be doing... Be flying a kite. It's from Dickens's what novel, Mr. Kieran?
I don't be taking chance if I said David Copperfield.
You'd be quite right, I think, if you said David Copperfield. It's all right.
Don't
Whenever
say
you
it.
Take a chance, Mr. Kieran, you're right. Now, if you met Bunthorn, what would he be doing? Bunthorn. Mr. Adams.
He would be making 20 maidens lovesick.
Who is Mr. Bunthorn? What's he from?
Patience.
Yes, he would be making 20 maidens lovesick.
All against their will.
Getting to be a rather rough party. With one man flying a kite and the other man making 20 maidens lovesick. Yes, so he'd be walking around with a lily in his hand. Might he not be doing that?
Down Piccadilly.
All right. Now, Father William. If you met Father William, what would he be doing? Mr. Kieran.
Might be standing on his head.
Yes, what's it from?
Alice in Wonderland.
Do you remember the lines?
You are old, Father William, the young man said, and your hair is exceedingly white, but, well, maybe that is mine, but I notice you frequently stand on your head. Do you think at your age it is right?
Quite correct, Mr. Kieran. Very good. And Paul Sycamore. What would Paul Sycamore be doing?
Sycamore,
Mr. Levant, Sycamore.
Is that modern? Modern,
oh, terribly, yes. The last 3 or 4 years.
What? He was in the... It was a vague character in what's the name of that play I'm thinking of? You Can't Take It With You.
You Can't Take It With You. That's right.
What
would he be doing?
He's unattractive. He was in the cellar shooting firecrackers.
That's absolutely right. Yes, in the cellar shooting off, trying out his firecrackers.
A noisy parasite.
Awesome. That's 4 out of 4. An odd party, but no odder than some of us have been to. Now the next one comes from Mr. N. Lewison of Dallas, Texas. You're going to hear a medley of classical and popular music. And I'm going to ask you to identify the parts of which it's composed. There are 5 parts altogether, and if you get 4 out of 5, that will pass you through the lines this evening, gentlemen. Let's have it.
First bar is Tristan.
The
prelude to Tristan.
Yes, the prelude to Tristan and Isolde. That's quite correct. Wagner's Tristan and Isolde.
And,
anybody catch on to another one?
Yeah.
Mr. Levant?
The end I caught.
Yeah, what was it?
That hymnal end, like Lover Come Back to Me.
Lover Come Back to Me. Sigmund Romberg, was it?
I guess so.
Right, that's 2. Pretty good. 3 to go. Or rather, 2 to go.
Do you mind playing after the first bar?
No, go ahead.
The Man I Love.
The Man I Love, Gershwin. That's 3. 3 out of 5. Pretty good, Mr. Levant.
Lady Be Good.
Mr. Kieran?
Lady Be Good.
Lady Be Good. 2 Gershwins. There's one more.
That I don't know. That's obscure.
The sticker. Well, you can all guess on this because we've won our $10.
That obscure bar. It's obscure because I don't know it, Tom.
Well, it's a little obscurer than the others. It's from Till Eulenspiegel. Strauss of Till Eulenspiegel.
Well, I don't know anything from Till Eulenspiegel like that. I know Till Eulenspiegel, what they call like a book.
You do?
Yeah.
Should have known this then. Well, that's 4 out of 5, Mr. Levant, put us through very nicely. The next question is a quotation question. Coming from Mr. H.L. Packard of Antrim, New Hampshire, asks you to identify the following quotations. There are 4 of them. I'll ask you to get 3 out of 4. These quotations seem to repeat each other. Here's one. In lilac time, in lilac time, in lilac time. I said that 3 times. Mr. Adams.
Come down to Kew in lilac time.
Yes.
It isn't far from London.
Yes. What's the point? And who wrote it?
Alfred Noyes.
Yes. Know the name of it?
Mr. Marquand. The organ grinder or something.
The barrel organ.
The barrel organ, Mr. Marquand. Thank you very much. That's quite right. Mama, she cried. Mama, she cried. Mama, she cried.
She cried,
I am
mama.
Not stuttering this evening, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Levant, what were you going to tell me?
I said she cried, Mama.
You got the point, eh? Now let's see if you can give us the source. Miss Adams is thinking very hard.
Why did she cry, Mama?
I don't know the whole story, Mr. Levant. You're just curious this evening. Mama, she cried, Mama, she cried, Mama, she cried. It's from Captain Jinks of the Horse Marines. When I left home, Mama, she cried, Mama, she cried, Mama, she cried. He ain't cut out for the Army. Do you remember that now, Mr. Adams?
No, never.
Sorry.
Heard.
One wrong. Now we have to get the next 2 right to get by. But oh, heart, heart, heart. Mr. Kieran.
Walt Whitman on the death of Abraham Lincoln.
Quite correct.
Captain, oh, my captain.
That's right. Remember the way the line
Oh, the bleeding on? Drops of red were on the deck, my captain lies fallen cold and dead.
Pretty good, Mr. Kieran. Thank you very much indeed. Hello, 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 hello.
Hello, Frisco.
Very appropriate for a program called Information, Please.
Hello, Frisco. Hello.
That's only 2. I've got to have 4. Hello, 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 hello.
Hey.
Marquand, do you have it?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
I think I have it.
Mr. Levant.
There's a song, Sereco, Little Sereco.
Go ahead.
Little Sereco, da-da-da, blue. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello. That's right. That's right. Very good. Now, we announce a loss of, let's see, $10. Only $10 so far. Paid out to those brilliant questioners who've tested our experts and found them willing, but in one case, wanting. And for the next moment, I suggest we listen to an extremely interesting message to be delivered by Mr. Milton Cross.
Thank you, Mr. Fadiman. At the conclusion of last week's program, we announced the distinguished privilege which has been extended to Canada Dry. That of supplying Canada Dry water, ginger ale, and flavor beverages to their majesties, King George VI and Queen Elizabeth, throughout their visit to Canada and the United States. Several months ago, official representatives from England arrived in Canada to inspect, analyze, and select all the foods, beverages, and water to be served on the Royal Train. And after thorough and elaborate tests were conducted, the Dominion Department of National Health chose Canada Dry water. So that the moment the royal party arrives in Quebec, and during their entire trip, every drop of water used for drinking and cooking will be exclusively supplied by Canada Dry. In supplying water for their majesties, the same water is being delivered that is used in making Canada Dry ginger ale and sparkling water, water of uniform purity and quality. Always the same standards at every stop throughout the royal tour. Canada Dry has been additionally honored with the official appointment to the King's representative in the Dominion, the Governor General in Canada, His Excellency Lord Tweedsmuir.
Thank you, Mr. Cross. And now, gentlemen, I must inform you that the entire sports department of the Daily Mirror of New York has ganged up on you and worked out a very tricky question. Now, the boys from the sports department of the Daily Mirror want to know who these boxing champions were. That's all. Very simple. There are 4 of them. Who was Noah Brusso? Mr. Kieran.
Tommy Burns.
Pretty good. Joseph Carrera. Joseph Carrera. Mr. Kieran.
Johnny Dundee.
Pretty good. Francisco Guillebo. I may be mispronouncing.
How do you spell it?
Guillebo. At a venture.
What nationality does that suggest?
Oh, you're turning this into a quiz program in my honor, aren't you, Mr. Levant? Suggests, I should think, Spanish. Offhand.
Pancho Villa.
Pancho Villa, Mr. Kieran, is quite correct. How did you just... That just come through your mind like a dart of lightning?
No, I suspected it, but I wanted a little hint.
Aye. That's 3 out of 4. William Rothwell. Who would that be?
Conductor of the Los Angeles Philharmonic.
Is it really, Mr. LeVant?
That was a Henry Rothwell.
Not quite.
Well, this one was more famous. Young Corbett.
Young Corbett, thank you. 4 out of 4 for Mr. Chirrut. Knows his boxing champions no matter under what names they hide themselves. Now the next one from Anne Elizabeth Pierce of Lakewood, Ohio. Going to ask you to get 4 out of 4 on this one. This deals with questions about books or stories that are familiar to children. I think I can safely state that all of you have been children at least once in your life. Who followed Captain Hook around the Never Never Land because he liked the taste of him? Who followed Captain Hook around the Never Never Land because he liked the taste of him? I think most of us read this story when we were children. Sorry. The answer is the crocodile in Peter and Wendy by James M. Barrie. Remember, Peter Pan had fed the crocodile Hook's hand. Well, naturally, the crocodile was having had one taste of him, one of the rest of it. That's one wrong. Who could not answer the door because he had left his feet in the fire? Charming situations I provide you with this evening, gentlemen.
He must have been cold. Who was it?
Pinocchio, Mr. LeVant. Pinocchio, the wooden puppet. Do you know that, Mr. Adams? You look at me as if you knew it all along.
Not when I was children.
Twins, Mr. Adams. I've always thought so. Pinocchio. I think these gentlemen are certainly at least past their first childhood this evening. Considerably past it. Whose nose was caught by a crocodile so that he pulled and pulled and it hurt him hideous? Gee whiz. Gee whiz. The elephant's child in the famous story by Kipling of that name. Perfect score of 3 wrong out of 3 so far. Who became a hero? Who became a hero by using his head and one finger? Mr. LeVant.
Why his head? That was a boy in Holland, a Dutch kid. He, the dyke.
Mm-hmm.
Hans Brinker.
No, that's Silver Skates.
Well, you know two Dutch boys, not quite the same one, Mr. Adam. Yes, the Dutch boy who saved the dyke. But that isn't quite enough to save us from a loss of $10 going out to Miss Pierce of Lakewood. Plus $5 for the use of the question. Thank you very much. I think we'll stick to questions about adult books for the near future. The next question comes to us from Florence B. Pyle of Coriopolis, Pennsylvania. And this is addressed specifically to you, Mr. LeVant, if you don't mind. You're asked to play a composition that would be appropriate if the following were marching. Now, the first would be hobos. Sorry, you can't play as an oboe solo on the piano, Mr. LeVant.
Hobos?
Hobos, yeah.
Oh, boy, hold your word.
Hobos. Yes, that'll do.
No,
don't like that? Improve it, Mr. Adams?
Why doesn't he play Tramp, Tramp, sure. Tramp?
Very good, Mr. Adams.
How about the Song of the Vagabonds?
Oh, that'll do, yes.
Tramp.
Very good. All right, there are 3 songs, including one for Mr. Adams, who can't play the piano, knows his Tramp, Tramp, Tramp. Let's have one which would be suitable... Well, to a march of some British peers. British peers. Aristocrats. Peers?
What are peers?
Peers, the people who sit in the House of Peers.
Lennox?
Peers.
That's Peer Gynt by Gynt.
Oh! That's the Peer Gynt suite. Have to let it go. Could you give us one that's straight?
Well, that's probably one. March of the Peers sounds like Gilbert Sullivan, but I don't know.
It is. Mr. Adams is departing. March of the Peers from Iolanthe. But I'm going to let the Peer Gynt suite go. I think it's brilliant, Mr. LeVant. I think it's brilliant. I'll say it again. I think it's brilliant. How about marionettes, Mr. LeVant? Suppose marionettes were marching. What would you play for them?
Well, there's a piece by Gounod called The Funeral March of the Marionettes, but I don't remember it. Maybe I
can come to it.
Mr. Adams coming to bat again.
Give it to me.
Adams, we ought to have you at that piano.
Marionettes?
Yep. That's quite correct, Mr. Adams. Right, Mr. Adams? All right. Dwarfs.
That's from the Babes in Toyland.
Babes in Toyland, yes. Dwarfs, Mr. LeVant. Dwarfs.
Dwarfs?
Dwarfs.
That's by Grieg. That's Grieg to me. I don't remember that either, but dwarfs.
Anything in Grieg about dwarfs?
Well, then how about the 7 dwarfs? Hi-ho or something like that.
All right. Can you play hi-ho? You know,
not
you have
very
to play
well.
As well as say.
that's...
How about Little Man, You've Had a Busy Day, Mr. Levant? We'll play that for us, that do?
Little Man, You've Had a Busy Day?
Yeah, for dwarves.
No.
Repartee, eh? Repartee. All right. 4 out of 4. Very good. The next one, from Mr. R.M. Green in New Rochelle, New York, has to do with animals. If the following animals are born on the same day, and they all live their normal lifespan, in what order will they die? A swan, a giant tortoise, a lion, and a woodpecker. Now, gentlemen, one person has to answer this question and get it absolutely correct. Don't raise your hand unless you know that you can answer it completely in the quite correct order. They are all conducting a sit-down strike. Mr. Kieran.
I'll try.
All right. In what order will they die? Which will die first?
You've got... Give me those four...
A swan, a giant tortoise, a lion, and a woodpecker.
Woodpecker would die first.
I'll get you nervous.
A swan would die second, a lion would die third, and a giant tortoise, if unimpeded, would die last.
Well, you'd make a very bad insurance salesman to the animal kingdom, because your knowledge of life expectancies is not absolutely precise, Mr. Kieran.
Have the swan and the lion out of line?
Yes, the swan was out of line, and the, so was the woodpecker, as a matter of fact. The lion would die first. He has a life expectancy of only 20 years. And I think we ought to devote a few minutes of...
How many woodpeckers do you know that live over 20 years?
Well, the woodpeckers that you know, Mr. Kieran, may have very short lives. But the woodpecker down on my white card has a life expectancy of 60-odd years. I don't know just how odd they would be.
Oh, that's a strange bird indeed.
Maybe it just seems longer to a woodpecker.
You think that would be quite wrong?
Yes, I do.
Well, that settles that. Probably
the one in my hotel is about 10 years older.
We have to ring up the woodpeckers and find out and make sure. The third would be a swan, whose life expectancy would be about 102 years. I don't know how they work that out. 100 seems a long time, doesn't it?
Where'd you get this? Out of Grimm's Fairy Tales?
That's what it says here. Question comes from Mr. R.M. Green of New Rochelle, New York, in which section I believe there are very few woodpeckers, lions, swans,
and no
giant
swans
tortoises.
102 years old.
No?
None.
Preserved, perhaps? Canned?
Oh, yeah, that's stuff.
How about the giant tortoise, Mr. Kieran?
Oh, they live to a very old age.
Well, name your age.
Well, they have been known to live over 100 years, I believe.
Yes, up to about 200 with initials carved on their backs, generally. Well, I don't know how to adjudicate this question.
Well, you can call me wrong. It won't offend me.
No, I'm not going to call you wrong, nor am I going to call Mr. R.M. Green wrong. We'll hold the $15 in abeyance until we can get a naturalist to assist Mr. Kieran in determining the life expectancies of these four animals. And we're not going to wait 200 years either to find out. We'll leave the question open. The next one comes from Paul Brown of San Francisco, California. This has to do with popular songs. Now, gentlemen, you're going to hear some popular songs played on the piano. All of them have titles which include a number. You're going to work individually and in silence, and you're going to add up all the numbers that occur in the titles and give us the total. There's only one correct answer, and only one of you can give it. Let's have the first. I should add for the benefit of the radio audience that they are helped, these experts, by the fact they have a pencil and a piece of paper before them. We wouldn't trust them to do it in their heads. That's the first. Let's have the second. Getting to be a pretty big number so far. All right, let's have the third.
It's a favorite of mine.
You like that, Mr.
Well,
I'll play it again for you. All right, the fourth. Nice, Mr. Levant, isn't it? And third, the last. Okay, now the titles of each of those five songs all have a number in them. Okay. Gentlemen, draw a line and add up. Mr. Levant can add quickly or knows all the song
Not
titles.
Not very hard to add. Tea for Two, Thanks a Million, Half of a Dairy Blues from Lady Be Good, 3 o'clock in the morning, 45 minutes from Broadway. It's It's very easy to add. I'll show you why. T for two, then thanks a million. That's a million and two. Half of the Derry Blues, 2 million and a million and a half and...
All right, doing fine.
A million and two and a half, and then 3 o'clock, it makes a million and five and a half. 45 minutes makes a million and 50 and a half. Blues.
I'll take it. 1 million, 50 and a half. Absolutely correct, Mr. Levan. Now, may I ask whether any of you other three gentlemen had the right answer?
Be honest, be honest.
No.
Very good, Mr. Adams.
They were no half of a Derry Blues. That's a very, very special story.
Pretty tricky, isn't it?
Well, I happen to be a favorite of mine.
It's a tricky question. All right, here's one from B. Jameson of Detroit, Michigan. What liquid cools, heats, puts to sleep, and wakes up? Take it easy now.
Canada Dry.
Thanks for the plug, Mr. Levant. Doesn't put you to sleep, I don't think. What liquid cools, heats, puts to sleep, and wakes up? Apparently, there's only one possible answer.
Water.
How do you figure that out, Mr.
Levant? I don't know.
You just like water.
I don't think it'd be asked otherwise.
No, I'm sorry. Sorry, Mr. Adams, but the answer is perhaps
alcohol.
You were too...
Alcohol.
Alcohol is quite correct, Mr. Kieran, but I have to call that wrong owing to the impetuosity of Mr. Adams. Alcohol, as Mr. Kieran knows, cools when it's applied externally. It heats, as Mr. Kieran undoubtedly does not know, when it is taken internally. It puts to sleep when taken internally in large doses and wakes up when taken in small doses internally as a stimulant. Very well. Now, Canada Dry, and that is going to cost us $10 going out to Mr. Jameson. And now, Canada Dry has celebrated the first anniversary of Information Please with presents to the tune of $30 altogether. A word from Mr. Cross and a word from your MC about next week's guest.
I want to say only a few words about sparkling Canada Dry water. This summer, with so many people coming and going to the fairs, all of us, no matter where we live, will probably entertain more than usual. So it's wise to be sure that your refrigerator is continually stocked with Canada Dry water. For this fine club soda blends well and makes your favorite drinks taste better, have more sparkle, and last longer. And just as giving your friends Canada Dry water is the sign of a thoughtful and practical hostess, so will you find that wherever sparkling Canada Dry water is served, it's a sign of a well-run and well-thought-of club, restaurant, or hotel. And sparkling Canada Dry water will be served at all functions in connection with the historic visit of Their Majesties, King George VI and Queen Elizabeth.
Thank you. And thank you, Mr. Marquand, for coming down and being our guest this evening. Next week, Mr. Adams and Mr. Kieran will be with us again. Our two guests of honor will be first Bernard Jaffe, scientist and teacher, author of Outposts of Science and other notable books, and Clarence Buddington Kellan, whose stories are known to millions, the creator of Scattergood Baines, and the author of the tale out of which came the picture, Mr. Deeds Goes to Town. To all you listeners, we say, please send your questions along. If you have a stumper to stump our board of experts, let's have it. There are $5 in it for you if we use your question, and another $10 if we fail to answer it correctly. You can win $15 in all. Send your letters with questions to Information Please, Canada Dry, 1 Pershing Square, New York City.
You'll find Canada Dry Ginger Ale, Sparkling Water, Lime Ricky, and Tom Collins Mixer wherever fine beverages are sold. The large family size is economical, costing only 15 cents. This is Milton Cross inviting you to visit the Canada Dry exhibit in Food Building North 2 at the New York World's Fair, where all our friends will be welcome and where they can stop to freshen up a bit. Good night, all.